Mr. Bulwer, reel one. Whereabouts were you born, please?
I was born in Piotrków Trybunalski, Poland.
Which year was this?
1926.
And what did your father do for a living?
My father was selling livestock, like hens, chickens, and geese and ducks.
How big was your family?
There was two. One brother lived in France. He left when I was a child. He left Poland and went to live in Paris. And there was a younger brother than me, a younger sister, and a sister 2 years older. So there was two boys and two girls, four of us.
What were the names of the children?
My younger brother, his name was Simcha. In English, it'd be Simon. My older sister, her name was Fela. F-A-E-F-E-L-A. Fela. Felix. My youngest sister, her name was Raisla. Like Rose in English.
What kind of a school did you go to?
I went to a Polish Catholic school because there was only one Jewish school in the town and there was no vacancies. So my older brother used to go there for evening classes and he'd take me to see the headmaster and he'd take me in straight away. And I went there right up to the outbreak.
What kind of experience did you have at school?
Well, at school, I did the first few years, a lady used to teach us what we call religion. But after 2 years, a priest walked in the classroom to teach us scripture. And I told him that I was a Jewish faith. And he said, if you wish to remain, you can do it. Because it wasn't the last hour. So it would take me an hour to get home. I couldn't manage to get back to school. So I remained in terrible winters. You couldn't stay out. You had to stay outside the school building. So I said, I'll remain in the classroom. And he agreed. He says, you're welcome. But my grandfather was a very religious man. He found out that I remained in the classroom. He wrote a letter to the headmaster to explain that I'm of Jewish faith and it's against his wishes that I should remain in the classroom. So he made it, the headmaster. His name was Stefan Fischer. And he was the president in the town. He was a Polish socialist. And he rearranged so that the scripture is the last hour, so I could go home.
How were you treated at school?
Well, until they found out that I was Jewish, because my name is not Jewish. Bulwer is not a Jewish name. And Adam is not a Jewish name. That's what they call me, school Adam. Until they found out I was Jewish, I was all right. I had a pal with you. We all played football together. We all got on well with one another. Until they found out I was Jewish. Once they found out that the Jewish started calling, he did it if you go to Palestine. And until I reported to the headmaster, and the headmaster sorted it out.
Was Adam a nickname? Because your real name's Abram, isn't it?
Yeah, Abram, yeah. Now, Adam is because I was frightened to tell them Abram is a Jewish name. So this is the reason why I told them Adam. So it doesn't sound Jewish. And I didn't look Jewish.
So that made it a miserable time for you then?
It did.
But you persisted at school?
I must say I had a very good education. And the Polish, the standard was very, very good. And I'm not sorry that I went to the Polish school because I learned poem with the proper grammar, and it came useful during the war.
Had your family thought of emigrating from Poland?
But there was no possibility. There was no possibility, because my father had some relatives in Buenos Aires, he had some relatives in London, he had relatives in France, but they had no money. He came from a very poor family. My father just managed to struggle to work for a living.
Now, can we go on to the war, and can you tell me what you remember about the beginning of the war and what you personally saw of it, please?
When the 1st of September, there was loudspeakers in the streets to tell us if we see any airplanes in the skies, there would be British airplanes that came to the help of Poland. But unfortunately, there were German planes, and there were only observing where to bomb. And this is what happened. And a few days later, they were bombing the town with a bombing strategic military object, like there was ammunition dumps outside the town, there was an army camp in our town, and all these military objects were all destroyed, they were all bombed, and a lot of people were killed in the city itself, because they were bombing any building, hospitals, synagogues, they didn't, churches, it didn't matter what.
Were there many casualties?
There was quite a lot that got killed.
Anybody lost from your relatives?
Not from my relatives, but I know some people. One in particular, his younger brother was a friend of mine. They were digging trenches right in the heart of the city. They were digging trenches in the park, and the German planes came hoovered down, and they got shot. It was three people that got shot.
What do you remember about the German troops and authorities first coming into the town?
What I remember, anybody that was on their side was shot. It didn't matter who you were. They were just shooting people as they came in, the infantry. And my father gave me a loaf of bread to take to my uncle, my father's brother, which he didn't live far away, so 10 minutes walk. And I put the bread under my coat, and I take it to my father, to my uncle. And on the way, I was caught by the German infantry and taken to a cemetery. And the earth was so hard that they gave us pickaxes with spades to dig a big massive grave for the German soldiers who got killed coming into our town. And at the time, I'll never forget it, an Obersturmbefehl from the SS was stood there with a machine gun pointing at us. And somebody was in my way, and I couldn't, as I was digging, hacking away with a pickaxe onto the ground, I just moved him away. And the German Obersturmbefehl jumped down into the trench and got hold of the pickaxe and banged me in my buttock. And as if nothing happened. And I worked till I finished, and then I went to the hospital. And they put a bandage on me. And I've still got the mark up to this day.
Did it draw blood from you?
Yeah.
What measures did the Germans first take in Piotrków Trybunalski?
The first ghetto was in our town. They made the first ghetto. They prohibited Jewish people to go out of the ghetto and non-Jewish people to come into the ghetto. So there was no contact with the outside world. And people they lived under terrible conditions. Because there was a shortage of food, you weren't able to trade, you weren't able to earn for a living, to get money, to buy food. Conditions were absolutely terrible. And I risked my life I went out many times into the villages where my father used to go out and buy the livestock of the farmers. And they knew me. And they packed everything they could possibly, as much as I could carry, into a sack and taking it into the ghetto. It was like gold. I've done it as much as I, right up to 1941, I've done it. After that, it was very, very risky. Because I used to pass the Jewish cemetery and I used to see the SS with a black Mariah taking out Jewish people and caught outside the ghetto and shot in the cemetery. As I passed, I heard shots. Well, with me speaking in good Polish, because there was a lot of Volksdeutschen who spoke Polish fluent, because they were born in Poland. With me speaking in good Polish and didn't look Jewish, they didn't know. If they spoke to me in German, I just shrugged my shoulder that I don't understand what they're talking about. And I answered it in Polish. And I got away with it.
How long do you think you were in the ghetto at Piotrków Trybunalski?
I was in the ghetto. Beginning of 1941, I was taken to a concentration camp, the first concentration camp.
Before we move away from the ghetto, are there any other incidents or reminiscences you've got from the ghetto about things that happened there?
Terrible experiences. As I said, the conditions were terrible in the ghetto. People were dying. Every day there were people dying. From the terrible conditions that we lived on there.
And the whole of your family was there?
The whole of my family were there.
Did they stay healthy?
My father was an invalid. He couldn't go out and earn a living because he was not allowed to leave the ghetto. My younger brother worked in a glass factory called Hortensia, fancy glass they made. He started work there beginning of 41. And I was taken to this terrible camp where digging anti-tank fortifications hundreds of miles away from my hometown.
How were you taken from the ghetto to the camp?
In cattle wagons.
How were you chosen?
Anybody that's 14 years of age had to do this type of work, had to report. And they lined up and marched off to the station and packed in cattle wagons and taken to this terrible camp. When we came into this camp, it was, I remember, it was dark and the smell was absolutely terrible. And we got to know, a few hours later, we got to know that 20,000 gypsies were murdered there in this camp. It was called Berezinsk-Lubelski. And the conditions were absolutely terrible there. We were digging anti-tank fortifications. And you were given piece work. You were marked out every time you came to work. You worked 12 hours. From 7 in the morning to 7 in the evening. Marked out how much work you had to do each day you started work. And I was able to look at the Russian guards on the border, but you could not escape because a few got shot as they risked their life running across the border because it was right near the Russian border because the Russians taking apart the Poland. And they made a border between the Germans and themselves. And that's why they were digging out the tank fortification against the Russians. Every day, they used to pick out people, no matter who, they just picked people out, lined them up, taken them to the woods, made them take their spades to dig their own grave, and they were shot. This was going on nearly every day. And after 3 months I was there, I got transferred to another camp called Varge, doing the same type of work. And they had Ukrainian guards, couples, who looked after us. The conditions were absolutely terrible. And through influence of a man called Gomberg, he was in the ghetto, and he spoke fluent German, and he had influence with the Germans, with the SS. He managed to arrange for us to have medicals, and anybody that's not fit for work to be returned back to the ghetto. So I did return to the ghetto, and a few more of us, we came back to Petrov, to the ghetto. And we came back to the ghetto, things were absolutely terrible. There was no food, people were being shot every day, caught outside the ghetto, people were dying in the ghetto. And my uncle got me into the grass factory, to work in the grass factory as a protection, not to be taken away to the concentration camps. And I worked there right up to 1944. I worked hard, but at least I had protection. Food we got very little, but at least it wasn't as bad as in the concentration camps in Germany.
When you returned to the ghetto, were things worse than when you left it?
A lot worse.
Were there any police in the ghetto?
Jewish police were in the ghetto, and they were terrible. But the least thing, you were caught, and you were handed over to the SS, and you were shot.
Why did the Jewish police behave like that?
They thought they could save their own skins. And this is the reason why they were so faithful to the Germans. But some of them, as they were deported to Buchenwald in 1944, there was a man called Gustav in Buchenwald, a ginger-haired fellow. He was a Czech, and he was a political prisoner. And we reported all those that collaborated with the Nazis. And he seen them off.
Did you know the identity of these Jewish police?
Oh, certainly.
Or had they come from far away, or were they local people?
They were from our hometown.
Did it surprise you that with these people?
Of course it did. I was shocked, absolutely shocked.
But were they the type of person whom you might have expected to have behaved badly, or were they decent people before the war?
Well, I didn't know them well before the war, but I only knew them as policemen in the ghetto. In fact, he came into my room and he came home from work. My younger brother came home from work. He happened to work on the same shift. And we went to bed, and an hour later, the Jewish police raided our room. And there was a girl hidden that was illegal in the ghetto. A Jewish girl was hidden behind the wardrobe in the wall and papered over with hardball. And we didn't even know because somebody hid her there. And we were marched off to the synagogue, to the main synagogue in our hometown. And with my uncle working in the grass factory and having influence with the manager, he went to tell him, and he reported, he phoned up straight away to the Gestapo. And I stayed overnight, which I experienced some terrible things there in the synagogue.
What type of things?
The Ukrainians, and we called them Lotitians, the Lotians, were terrible. They said to the Jewish people that were in the synagogue, there was over 600 in the synagogue, hand over all your money, all your gold, all your jewelry, because you won't need it anymore. And people were frightened, they were throwing everything to them, and they were shooting up in the synagogue with machine guns, to frighten everybody. And in the morning, I was one of the lucky ones. The head of the Gestapo came with the Jewish president from the ghetto. And there were six people released from the synagogue. I was the third one. And I was marched back by the Reichsschutz, by the Volksdeutsch. I was marched back to the grass factory. And when I came back to the grass factory, the manager, Fogel, was stood outside. I kissed his hands because I would have been shot a few days later.
What were conditions like in this glass factory that you worked in?
In the glass factory, the conditions were bad. There was no such thing as the conditions were good. You had enough food to keep you going. That was the only thing that was good about it. But you had to work hard. Because he had to prove to the SS and the Gestapo that the Jews are good workers, that you must need them. Because every time, every few months, they used to come around and they wanted the Jews out of the factory. They wanted to take the Jews out of the factory. And he said, no, they're good workers. One Jew could do more work than three Poles. You don't need them. And he kept persuading the Gestapo to let us stay at work. And he always said to my uncle, as long as I'm manager here, the Gestapo and the SS will never lay their hands on new people, on new Jews.
Do you remember his name?
Yes, his name is Fogel. But the end of the road came in 1944, in October. And he called us all out into the open grounds. And he took out a handkerchief out of his pocket and he started wiping his eyes. And he said, we've come to the end of the road. There's no more I could do for you. I'm afraid that the Gestapo want you out, and the SS want you out. They want to take you away. Where to, I don't know. And they marched off to the station, and they were taken to Chesterhof. When I came to Chesterhof, we were in a camp called Chesterhofjanka. I was there with my younger brother and my uncle. And we separated. My younger brother went to Buchenwald, and I worked with my uncle right up to 1945, January. We worked there. And then we were called out. We came home from work, and then we had the chance to go to bed. We called out of the barracks, Union House. And we came out, and they rounded us up with machine guns, and counted us, and marched us off to slave tracks, not to a station, just slave tracks. And we seen anti-aircraft guns on the rail tracks, machine guns, and also artillery guns. And they packed us like sardines and taken us to Buchenwald.
I think at Chesterhof, was there not a Pole who had helped you?
A Pole was there to help me. He brought me sandwiches. Ever so often, he gave me sandwiches. Because I used to do his work while the iron was coming out of the furnace. He waited for it to cool off. So he was having a rest, and I went round with the hammer separating the raw iron, because they were joined onto together as it came into the forms, and I thrown it down onto the wagons. And that went in to be melted into steel.
Did you know his name?
No, I couldn't. I could never remember his name.
Was he older than you?
Oh, yes, he was older than me. He was about 40.
Sorry, you were just telling me how you were taken away from Częstochowa. Was this the time when the Russians were coming?
The Russians were coming. As the masters to the rail tracks, people were walking in the street, Polish people, and they shouted to us, "Boys, run away," because the Russians were coming in from the other side of the city. But there was no chance of us running away because we were surrounded by the SS machine guns from all sides. We were packed in the wagons like sardines and taken to Newfoundland.
Were the Poles frightened because the Russians were coming, or glad because the Russians were coming?
Well, they must have been glad, because who wanted to be under German rule? They all hated the sight of the Germans.
So they thought that you could escape to get to the Russian lines?
Well, the Russians were coming into the city. So the reason why they shouted to us, to save us from going to Germany, so we could be liberated by the Russians. In fact, some Jewish people that worked there in the glass factory, in the furnace, iron furnace, in Lakov, were liberated by the Russians.
You were telling me a story earlier about you were told that the Russians were at Radom.
Yeah.
Can you repeat the story?
Certainly, yeah. Then the Pole came to work. We were working on night shift. He came up to me and he whispered to me, Adam, hide yourself. In Polish, he told me, hide yourself. He whispered to me. And I said, where? And he said, under the furnace. There's plenty of dark places where you could hide. And I said to him, I'm frightened. If I had somebody with me, I would have done. But on my own, I'm frightened. If the family, I'll get shot. If I've survived up till now, I don't want to die.
So you didn't do it?
I didn't. I said, be it. If I survived up till now, I must carry on. And I didn't. I was taken away.
What do you think would have happened if you had hid under the furnace?
Oh, I would have definitely been shot if I was found.
So, you told me about how you were taken to Buchenwald. What was the journey like there, to there?
Oh, the journey was absolutely terrible. We were packed in open wagons, packed like sardines. Some of us died on the way. And we walked for several hours to Buchenwald.
And when you got there, what did you find?
It was a concentration camp. The first thing we'd done was taking us in and disaffecting us and taking everything off us. Our own clothing and everything was taken off us. Our photographs of every member of the family, which I had, right up to Buchenwald. And Buchenwald, everything was taken off me. We didn't see anybody come out. We waited outside, because they let so many in for disaffecting us and left us out. Until the other people went out, but we'd never seen anybody come out. We thought this is the end. But eventually they got out from